Blog Talk Radio.
Feeling this presence.
Hallelujah. Jesus is a love song. You got your love song in your heart. I have my love song in my heart, and out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth speaketh. Hello, sisters and brothers out there in Blog Talk Radio land. Happy resurrection. Let's not just say it, but I mean it from my heart. A resurrection has taken place for you and for me. Happy Resurrection Day. How are you praising? How are you spending it? I know a lot of you, a lot of us has been, since Ash Wednesday, has been fasting. And Terry, God bless you. You've made it. And just year after year, you go through. So God bless you. And for all of those that are fasting, and remember, it's something. You're getting something out of this. And for those who are just preparing for tomorrow, and you're going around and you're getting someone that hasn't been into the house of the Lord in a while, and you're going to take them tomorrow, and they've agreed to go. Don't forget about them. Don't let them just tell you no and just let it go. Go ahead and put a little pressure on them to come on. Let's go into the house of the Lord. Let's have a good time. Let's praise his holy name. For he did this not just for me and you, but for each and every one of us, sinners and saints alike. And we should recognize and make sure that we are explaining exactly what's going on at this time of year. Not the Easter bunny and the eggs, or the other ones that, you know, some cultures kind of crack upside the head, but the true resurrection and the meaning of it. I'm afraid today that my sisters and brothers, even that are sitting inside of the church buildings, still do not clearly understand what has taken place for you and I. So it's time for some clarity on those issues. I am your host, Evangelist Von Dumas. God bless you, each and every one of you. I want to give a shout out today. This is from the Ministry of Tri-Anointed Women of Christ. And I want to shout out to my mother, Miss Annie Pearl Harwell, to my brother, T, his wife, Joyce, my brother's Reggie, his wife, Stephanie, my brother, DeConcelin, and to my sisters, Dee and James, Barbara. God bless you, each and every one of you. You are in my heart. To James Earl Dumas Sr., God bless you. And to the whole Cannon and Dumas family in Indianapolis, I dedicate this show to you. Resurrection, renewing, I dedicate this show to you tonight. And to my kids, LaMeca, here in San Antonio, my son, J.D., in Boston. And to their families, my grandkids, Tatiana, Nathaniel, Janelle, and James, God bless you all. And, of course, to my son, James Dumas, who has went ahead to be home with the Lord, God bless you. I miss you dearly. But I know that if you had the opportunity to turn around and come back, you would not leave out of the presence of the Lord of where you're at right now. So God bless you, my son. This show is for each and every one of you. We're going to get our scripture started, and we're going to go right into the word after our prayer. Sister Tatiana.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, baby. You ready for the scripture?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Do you feel resurrected?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
Do you feel powerful right now?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you feel like that God has done something for you?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, all right. Let's go ahead and read the scripture just like you're feeling it, just like the power that is in you, just like that he's done something for you. Read the scripture out to God's children. Amen. Go ahead, sister.
On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes had gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the man said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of the Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men. He crucified, and on the third day he rises." again. Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others.
Hallelujah. And what did you read for us? Where can we find that at again?
Luke 24:1-9.
Verses 1-9. All right. Thank you so much for the reading of God's word. You know, that's God's word that you're reading. So I thank you for just being obedient and reading God's words to us, reminding us what it is. The stone was moved out of the way. And then the angel appeared and said, well, why do you look for the dead among the living? Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Tatiana. God bless you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Dear Father, we ask that I decrease and you increase. We invite you to come, dear Father, use this ministry, use my vessel, use my voice, dear Father. Touch each and every person around, dear Father, that is listening, whether live in the archives or whenever it may be. However you get the word to them, just push and get it to them, Jesus. I'm a living witness, dear Father, that you are a good God. I thank you for everything that you said and that you've done, what you are doing, dear Father, right now in the midst of our lives, dear Father. Protection right now in the midst of our lives. Resurrection right now in the midst of our troubled times. And we thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for us. Coming, dear Father, given what no one could take, your life, dear Father, that I may have a right to the tree of life, that my name can be in the book of life, that I can celebrate for eternity with my Father. And I just want to say thank you, Jesus. In the powerful name of Jesus, oh, we come and say thank you. Amen, amen, amen. So we read in the scriptures now that he said, why do you look for the dead amongst the living? You know, death is a scary thing to a lot of different people. And it's not just kids who get scared of death, but many adults can't handle it either. You may be a faithful Christian who believes in the resurrection, but death is still a curious thing. It's beyond man's reach. It's beyond man's control. Perhaps that's what troubles us the most. We can't bear not being in control. And we know not when the day that our death is going to come. It's many people who've tried to end their life, and they wake up and they're still here. It's many people who were not trying to end their life, and they turned around and they woke up and they're in eternity. They're somewhere, they're not here any longer. We didn't give life. Go visit any hospital. Those babies, those infants, they're not giving life to themselves. This is a precious gift that is touched and carried and incubated, fed, and at the right moment pushed through. So we didn't give, and we don't have the right to try to take it. But it's something about death. We want to be in control. We're not in control of death. So it's curious to us. It frightens a lot of us. Spiritually, that may explain why so many Christians have such a hard time dying. So what do you mean, Sister Vaughn? What do you mean? I mean, for dying means relinquishing control of self. It signifies killing the flesh. And who really wants to do that? But die we must if we really want to live. In Matthew 16:25, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. So exactly is signifying killing the flesh. We must die in order to live. We must relinquish control of ourself. We must deny our flesh. And that's just what the word just told us. All right, let's keep moving. Jesus Christ did exactly what he was telling his disciples. Leading by example, Jesus Christ lived to die. This was his mission on earth. Live to die. Now we must die to live. That's our mission. We must die. The flesh has got to die. Die to live. To resurrect. We say happy resurrection day. And it amazes me, especially around this time as we speak to different people and people coming in for different prayer requests, and as we're speaking about the resurrection, I love those who just can just say, I have questions about it. It really amazes me that how many Christians that really don't even understand what resurrection means. But to resurrect means to bring to life again. Write that down. You're going to need to remember that. To resurrect means to bring to life again. Now look in your situation. Look in your household. Look right now at some things that you have been looking at saying, this thing is dead. It's not working anymore. This marriage is over. It's not working anymore. I can't find my way out of this maze that I'm in. It's dead. And I don't know what to do about it. Resurrection, resurrection, resurrection. Resurrection means what? It means to bring to life again. What is it in your life right now that you need to lift up? You need it to be brought back to life. What is it in your situation? What is it on your job right now that is just dead? You feel like the same old pattern each and every day. Nothing is blossoming. You don't see any beauty in the situation. Resurrection. To bring to life again. Now, since Christ raised us from the dead, we are now charged with resurrecting, stay with me, a dead world that's still trapped in sin. If you have been saved, then Christ has raised you from the dead. Now you have a responsibility, you and I. Our responsibilities is not to look down our nose at those that are still entrapped in sin. Because it's no such thing as you do not sin. It's sin and sin less. You may sin less than someone else. You may have got strong in areas where you used to be weak, and you can walk past that particular opportunity without stopping and sinning. You may sin less than someone else. But sin is sin. So it's our responsibility as saints that have been saved by Jesus Christ and stuff, that has been raised from the dead. We are now charged with resurrecting a dead world that's still trapped in sin. You say, well, I don't want to push my beliefs on anybody. I don't want to push. But you're the same one who says that you refuse to just let. Allow someone to just walk past you and just walk off of a cliff and they not knowing that the cliff is there, that the drop is there. You would stop them and say, hey, sister, brother, watch out. There's no rail here. There's a 100-foot drop here. You even will put your hand out to extend maybe. You would do something to stop them. But that's the way it is here. The ones that's deep in sin may or may not realize just how lost they are. May I not realize that they have the opportunity to be resurrected. They get so deep and trapped into the sin, they may not realize that it's a hand in the midst of that sin right there just waiting for them to grasp onto it that will pull them out of there. They may be crying day and night after day, wanting a way out, trying to drink it away, drug it away, sleep it away, abuse it away, lust it away. They're going to sorcerers, anything, trying to get the answers when you and I have the answers. You and I know the answers. It's our responsibility, resurrecting a dead world. We do that by living a life dying to self. We do that by living a life dying to self. Are we still going to have sin? Are we still going to have opportunities in our life that we need to work on? As long as we're breathing. But we need to, we do that by living a life before them, the showing that we can die to flesh. Show them that we can turn the other cheek. To show them that we can be patient in times of turmoil. To show them that we can push through some of these negative situations. Hallelujah. John 12, 24 and 25 reminds us of our need to die in order to help others live. Verily I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. You understand what I'm saying, sisters and brothers? How many seeds are still waiting on you to die so they can germinate? How many sinners are waiting on you to resurrect them? Make it personal. How many sinners are waiting on you to resurrect them? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Spiritual death is worth embracing. Since it can offer life to so many, we must understand we can't continue to run away from spiritual death, dying to the flesh. The Apostle Paul, he urges us to mortify or kill the deeds of the flesh. That's how we relinquish our will, by mortifying, killing the deeds of the flesh. Jesus agonized about it in the garden. He finally said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Denying, dying demands sacrifice. Here's evidence of that. When we go through, die, the D for die, discipline, you need a disciplined prayer life in order to die to your flesh. Discipline is a part of dying to the flesh. You need to rise early every morning. Make prayer the first order of business in your life. Talk to God. Allow him proper space, proper time to talk to you. It includes the Holy Spirit. You must include the Holy Spirit. Be led by the Comforter. Guide and instructor. He's your guide. He's your instructor. You must include the Holy Spirit. He teaches how to die to self. He teaches how to die to self and then live unto God. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's what the Comforter does. That's what your guide does. That's what your instructor does. You got to take on the fruit of his spirit. The fruit of the spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's what Galatians explains to us, Galatians 5 and 22 and 23. Let's say them again. As we take on the fruit of his spirit, the Holy Spirit, we will find love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And then we have the E in die. We must exhibit Christ. Follow Jesus' perfect example. Everything he spoke, he lived a life and showed you an example. You got to walk in his footsteps. Publicly display his love. That's what draws sinners to God. It's not about how crazy you can get foaming at the mouth. It's not about how much that you're looking down at somebody else. It's not about how you're telling them that you never make mistakes. That's a lie. It's not about all of that. You're scaring folk. You're turning them away. But it's your love. It's the way that you publicly display God's love through the way that you live your life. That's what draws sinners to God. They're hungry for a taste of true love. Look at all the young people out here, young girls, young boys. They're just excited about the fact that somebody may love them other than their parents, other than their families. So they find themselves in different little relationships that their minds are not ready to handle. It's not equipped to handle. Their hearts are not ready to handle, but they have a hunger for a taste of true love. For a taste of true love. How many of them are waiting on you to resurrect them? Hallelujah. It's patience. It's going to take your kindness to show. It doesn't envy or it doesn't boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not about to see who else can see you doing your work and is your name going to be up in lights. Following the example of Jesus, publicly displaying his love, is not easily angered or offended. And it keeps no record of wrongs. It doesn't delight in evil, but it rejoices in the truth, according to 1 Corinthians 13. So die to the flesh. Remember, we got to have discipline. We must have a disciplined prayer life. We must include the Holy Spirit. We must exhibit Christ and follow Jesus' perfect example. Walk in his footsteps. So much love. Such love means death of the flesh, of self. Hallelujah. So much love. I remind each and every one of you, when you're looking at the cross, look at the resurrection that he did for you. Look at all the things that you have right now, the opportunities that you have right now for eternity that were given to you through that resurrection. Don't just look at that cross. You know, I used to think at one point when you would see somebody with a cross around their neck that it automatically symbolized that they were a Christian. But you know, I later found out that that cross to so many people means so many different things. For some, it's just another piece of jewelry. The cross means many things to many people. For the Romans back in Jesus' day, it was a deterrent. Criminals would be crucified on crosses to communicate one message: don't mess with Rome. Over time, the cross had found itself in another total existence. The cross became both a symbol of torture and also a symbol of relief. It became both a symbol of intimidation and a symbol of hope. But ultimately, it became the symbol of Christianity. We all know and remember Jesus' words to take up your own cross and follow him. In Luke 9, the words imitate a radical call to discipleship. They require us to endure hardship that comes our way. What about when one is required to take up Jesus' cross? What about the man that was mentioned in passing in the Gospels? His name was Simon, and he hailed from Cyrene. Mark's Gospel records the following. It says, then the soldiers compelled a certain man, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, and he was coming out of the country and passing by to bear Jesus' cross. Mark 15. Now, here was a man who was minding his own business, per se. We're not sure why he was coming into the town on that fateful day. Maybe he was amongst the many pilgrims making the trip for the Passover. I'm not quite sure why, but he didn't have carrying the cross of a criminal on his agenda. I can bet you that. Yet he was forced to carry Jesus' cross. He had no choice. But let's not just trivialize his willingness to do so, because we don't know. But had he heard the Lord's instructions to go 2 miles, if forced to walk one, had he heard the Lord's instructions? We're not sure. But we certainly know one thing. The day that Simon encountered the cross, his life was profoundly transformed. See, I'm not talking about just putting a piece of jewelry around your neck. But the day that you carry the cross, the day that you truly understand what resurrection means, new life being brought forth, your life will be profoundly transformed. Hallelujah. Simon's name means hearken or listen. I believe that Simon lived up to his name on that day as Jesus trudged up to Calvary and being forced to carry Jesus' cross. He was listening. He was listening to God's call to become a disciple of Christ. And Simon's life was never the same. The cross has that same kind of effect. I recall countless stories of believers whose lives were changed the day they encountered the cross. That can be you right now today. In that moment, they realized the selfless nature of the work of the cross. Contrast by the selflessness that characterized their lifestyle, a lot of times we get very selfish in our own lifestyles. But the cross was a selfless nature. He thought not of him, but he thought of you. And when you really get a hold of the effects of the cross, it will change your life. You will realize that the transformative power of seemed to be, on first glance, merely just 2 planks of wood that's covered across in each other. You find out that that is your resurrection. You find out that that is your power. You find out that that's everything that you need. You find out that there's nothing that you can't make it through with the cross if you're truly resurrected. Hebrews 12, as we close, 12:2 says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. That cross is for you. That cross is for me. We must die to our flesh. Take up our cross and follow him. It's not too late, sisters and brothers. I fear that someone is saying it's too late for me. I've already undid all that I can do. I'm at the end of my ropes right now. It's not too late for you. If you really want to take up your cross, if you really want to make this resurrection day a changing day for the rest of your life, I invite you right now to just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, hear my prayer. God in heaven, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to come live my life in eternity with you. I accept all that your son's blood shed for me. I thank you for giving your son that he would give his life for me. That's love. I believe that The only way back to you is through that blood, through Jesus Christ. It's through that cross. Resurrect me, dear Father. I confess that I am a sinner. Come cleanse my heart. Remove anything inside of me that would block me from being the best me. Dear Father, show me how to die to my flesh, that I may receive all that the cross has for me, that I may receive all that the resurrection has for me, that I may not be afraid of control. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer, hallelujah to you. Hallelujah. It is so, so important that you just let somebody know of your decision to follow Christ. So when you're shouting in your car tonight, tomorrow, the next day, this is a new transformation for you. When you're shouting around your home, when you show up tomorrow, it's just not Easter. Tell somebody you've been resurrected. I would love to hear your words. I would love to just shout out with you. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. You can also reach me at 210-253-9093. If you need a Bible, you need any kind of anything to help you on your walk with God, you need to get into a good Bible teaching church. But we need to pray on where God wants you to be. I want to be your partner and pray for you. I don't care what city you're at. I don't care what country you're in. If you're hearing this right now, God wants us to partner up together, pray together to find where it is that he wants you to be. And I promise you, he will lead you right to where you want to be, where you need to be, where the leader over you is going to be just feeding you. You need a church home. You need a church family. You need someone in your corner. Again, I'm Evangelist Von Dumas, Tri-Anointed Ministries, and you can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com or 210-253-9093 right here in lovely San Antonio, Texas. Well, that's about all of our time for tonight. I pray that your heart has been resurrected. I pray that your spirit has been resurrected. I pray that this is a newness for you. And I pray that not just tomorrow, but right now, you're going to open your hearts, you're going to open your minds, and you're going to die and deny your flesh or something. And you're going to live for Jesus Christ. We love you here. We'll see you next time. Again, happy resurrection from Tri-Anointed Ministries. God bless you. Jesus loves you.